email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, during the lockdown, like everybody, sure, all you could do was meet your friends for a weekly L Zoom and a catch up. And really what we did was we set up this coffee and cake Zoom chat where you could have a rant and a laugh and a giggle or a cry or a moan. And so I was doing that with my friends and we did loads of talking about food and what we were cooking for dinner. It seemed like all you did actually some weeks was talk about what you'd cook for dinner and where you'd go for a walk and how much the children were annoying you. But the latest restaurant box, that was a topic of conversation for us as well. The best local coffee and cake. I live in Dublin 8, so that was kind of, we'd go exploring the area looking for the best. Anyway, they became known as our coffee and cake chats, and today we thought we'd bring it into studio for a bit of crack. And the first guinea pig is Mr. Brendan Courtney.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, and then when I texted you this morning going, what's your favourite cake? And you said you hated cake. I said, well, this.
I love trifle.
Well, I knew that. So, and I also know that you have a very special birthday coming up.
Yes, I do.
Put on your headphones there.
I will actually.
Put on your headphones. I went all out for you today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
A tiramisu. Oh my goodness. And it's a posh one as well. It's a salted caramel tiramisu.
We splashed out and went to Marks and Spencer's to get you a tiramisu.
Oh, divine. Thank you so much.
And I couldn't. They couldn't stretch the budget for my lemon drizzle cake. So I've got a caramel slice here, which we'll munch on a little bit later on. How are you keeping?
I'm great. It's funny you're talking about food during lockdown. We'd only have breakfast gone and I'd say to Adam, what would you like for dinner? And he was like, can we not talk about food yet? We just had tea and toast. Like,
it just seemed to be incessant.
Well, I never cooked, you see. Remember, I started cooking with feed and you showed me how to cook. And then all of a sudden I got into cooking.
Yes.
And because you're either working, walking or cooking, I just said, let's make cooking a thing and
yes.
And try and enjoy it a little bit. So I got into it and then it became experimental and yeah, so.
And tell us how your eating patterns and habits have changed, because they've kind of changed quite dramatically for you. And how has it impacted on your health and overall,
yeah.
Do you feel better on it?
100%. So you were talking to Joe Wicks on Tuesday, I think I was listening, and I was like, I was relate. I've never read any book he's done. I've never done any of his fitness classes. I will now, because I really related to what he was saying to you about food, about the positive nature of eating well. And basically, when my dad passed away, I was diagnosed shortly afterwards with hypertension, which is high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And I'm fit, but I wasn't observing what I was putting in my gob most of the time, because I run and I work out. So I could kind to get away with not eating very well.
Mm.
So I decided to learn to cook, and you were one of my guinea pigs and came and showed me how to cook something in 15 minutes with 5 ingredients. And I did this little online thing on Facebook and I really did learn to cook. And so since then, I enjoy food much more, and I'm a bit of a salad-y fish kind of person. It's a bit one pot kind of person.
Yeah.
But I wish I'd learned this 15 years ago, the benefit of good food and then enjoying the process of the good food. So yeah, but it's lowered my cholesterol and I've reduced my medication. So it's actually worked.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it's the simple changes. Like, I look at my brother now who's 29, but he has been kind of cooking for himself since he was like 23, 24, and knows, because, you know, with training now, the young ones, they know, like, macros, they're micros.
They read the ingredients on the pack of everything.
He would not touch that tiramisu or that caramel slice.
Yeah.
So the big birthday, 50.
50 next Thursday.
I cannot get over that.
Yeah, I'm 50.
How do you feel about it?
I thought I was fine about it, but I had a bit of an existential crisis a couple of weeks ago. I was like, what's wrong with me? I was like, it's a big number. You know, when 40 was just 2 weeks ago, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm fine about it. I think age genuinely is a number, as long as you have your health and as long as you're lucky enough to be able to go for the run or get up and do your yoga. And so nothing has changed that much in my life, but it is a number you think about. But then I was in with Pat, my dentist, yesterday, getting the L polish for the birthday. And he said, I'm 68, so I'm 18 years. And I was like, Kylie Minogue spinning around was number one 18 years ago. Do that, and I was like, that feels like last week, right? So I was 32 or 33, and all of a sudden, here I am, 50. So I suppose the lesson is, you know, cherish every moment.
Absolutely.
Because they fly.
Well, I did a chat recently with somebody who talked about the unhappy years being, for women, being in their mid to late 40s.
Yes.
And part of that has to do with the 50 number looming. It's lots to do with, you know, your kids don't, maybe if you've had children, your kids don't need you as much anymore. It's got to do with maybe if you have unfulfilled ambitions or you've had kind of dreams for yourself and they haven't been fulfilled. So the number 50 is for some people, you know, it can be that
I think
that
it's
milestone.
Also, you're 50, like you're 15 years from being 35, which is where you properly think you're adulted, right?
Mm.
But you're also 15 years from retiring, technically still.
Yes.
But that may change,
yeah,
of course. But, you know, I'm one of these people who, like, really shockingly, I always say, I cannot wait to retire. Like, I will retire tomorrow if I could and then pick and choose what I
want. What do you
want
to do?
But if you got my mom, I'll never retire. I love my job. Oh, I will retire. Oh, I will retire. Absolutely.
But you know, my dad always said that. I couldn't ever imagine my dad retiring. And I think lockdown has kind of, when he had to pull back,
yeah,
and step back from the business. And he's 73 now. He's a bit of an obvious. But do you know what I mean? But like having had the time to actually sit back and
see the benefit of sitting back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's quite enjoying it. You,
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of running at the minute as well.
So I had, I'm ashamed to say this, I had 3 gym memberships. You know, I was mad for it. So I was a member of the gym in Smithfield near where I live because there's a lovely swimming pool there. And I thought, the pool near me, I want to use it. And I got a sort of off-peak membership. I was a membership of a gym in London, and I was a member of a gym where my personal trainer was, Mariano, who's still a very good friend of mine, but I couldn't do it anymore. And I really did have this energy I needed to use, and I wanted to sleep better. So I started running, and I was a dreadful runner. And Adam, my partner, is 9 years younger than me and is an incredible runner and has done loads of marathons. So I literally am this owl lad behind him going, wait, wait, wait. Even the dog is laughing at me. The dog's a Jack Russell. But I now 5K regularly every second day, run 5K. And I do a little thing. My little trick is it's only half an hour. You'd be done in half an hour.
You'd be done.
You'd be done in half an hour. You'd be delighted. And you never regret going for a run, unless, of course, you fall down the hill or something. But you never regret doing it as long as you're... But I've grown, my strength has grown and stuff. So I would work out, yeah, a lot. And the running thing is there. I hope it stays. I hope it stays.
Yeah. What is making you happy this week?
That's Friday, and I'm looking at your gorgeous face, and I'm off for a haircut after this. I'm
and
delighted.
You've got the teeth done. You've got the birthday.
Teeth polished by Pat, who's God bless him, and I've got the birthday. What's making me happy this week? I'm actually looking forward to. I had to cancel my birthday party, which was dreadful.
Yes.
Obviously, just do the right thing, cancel it. But next Thursday, I'm actually working on my birthday. But then we're going to go to my happy place, which I'm telling the world about this place, but I shouldn't. It's Glenmalure Lodge. A lodge
in
house
Wicklow.
In Wicklow,
yes.
The foothills of Lough Nacuilla, and we do the hike on the Friday, and then we'll a couple of pints on Saturday night and sausage rolls, and that's me happy out. Although I will eat sausage rolls. I won't be a good boy for the weekend. So yeah, I like a nice simple birthday, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
sounds gorgeous. And not to put a dampener on it, but anything making you sad this week?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because on Ryan, not that I listen to RT radio all the time, it seems like I do have it on a lot actually. Ryan had that incredible footballer who had survived on the pitch with a defibrillator, and actually
Clive Clark.
Yes,
yes.
So that story really touched me, because PJ Gallagher had tweeted, "Do you know where your nearest defibrillator is?" And I was like, that's an interesting tweet. And it was all based on the footballer who'd collapsed on the pitch at the weekend. And I work with a charity called Cardiac Risk in the Young. And I suppose what makes me a little angry is there's an app you can get which tells you where the defibrillators are. You can just Google app for defibrillator. So I have that app, and everybody should have that, and it's free to download. So you'll know where a defibrillator is if it's near you.
Okay.
That's a really handy thing to do. But also Cardiac Risk in the Young, CRY, they're called. They're a self-funded charity based in Tala Hospital. And you can go and get your heart checked. And if they detect an irregular heartbeat, which they can very early on, just get medication and you will live, and you won't have to go through those horrible instances. So they are avoidable. But it really struck a chord at me, you know, because if Stephen Gately had gone and had his heart checked, Stephen Gately would still be with us, you know. So sudden adult, early adult death syndrome is very prolific. And it was interesting to hear people coming out and talking about their experiences this week. So it's good to talk about it. Yeah,
absolutely. The podcast is flying as well with Sonia.
Yeah. So yeah. Len and Courtney Left Alone, our podcast. We're back on series 6. It goes quick, doesn't it?
Honest to God.
Six.
But the topics, you still managed to come up with like really interesting topics.
So we've evolved it now to be very specifically about the masters we've just done in equality, diversity and inclusion. So we've both done an MBA, a Master of Business in equality, diversity and inclusion. So this season it's with women's mostly at the moment, but about their involvement in the equality or lack of equality or their diversity. So we had like the deputy head of RTE Sport, Cliona O'Leary, on talking about women in sport.
Mm.
And then today we went for next week's podcast, a really interesting one called Roisin Kelly, who had a rant on Instagram during the week about her autistic child in school, and that not exposing other children to autistic children stops them developing empathy, which is really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay.
So we've guests now.
Good, happy days. Thanks for coming in for the chats.
You didn't get a word in.
I didn't get a word in, but sure, that's nothing new. Loads of birthday messages coming in for you as well. Happy birthday, Brendan. I was 50 in March, and yes, I agree, you look at your life and go through a lot of things. So lots coming in.